I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
To New York now, a migrant man accused of raping a New York City teen is waking up in a jail cell this morning. A judge denying Christian Inga bail, declaring him a flight risk. He's now looking at a possible life sentence. News Nation's Alicia Nieves is in New York City this morning. Alicia, tell me more. What do we know about this man?
We've learned quite a bit in the last 24 hours or so. We know that 25-year-old Christian Inga came to the U.S. in 2021, crossing our southern border in Texas illegally. He had a 3-year-old in tow. We're told that he was arrested when he got to Texas, but was allowed to kind of stay here in the country pending a hearing. However, again, in the last 12 hours or so, we've also learned from law enforcement here in New York that Christian Inga Landi was actually ordered to go back to Ecuador just a year later in 2022. When you pair kind of that with what prosecutors say he did, some admissions of guilt that he offered to police when he was arrested, saying that he may have done this crime because he had a drug addiction, it's a bit of a hard pill to swallow. You start to realize what some are realizing and concerned about, that had he been deported, we may not have this case that has really struck a chord with people here in New York City, but even people around the country.
As it should. Reiterating quickly, this is a guy that came across our border, and we let him in, and he had a 3-year-old with him. Now, no report anywhere in that story, and none I've found. What happened to that 3-year-old he brought in with him, and they let him bring in? Is that 3-year-old still alive? Is she now in some sex den somewhere? This is what Joe Biden opened at our border. To allow not only terrorists, but also illegal drugs coming in, fentanyl killing our Americans, and, of course, these predators that prey upon our children, sometimes traffic them across our southern border. This is just one of many cases this week. We had a 12-year-old that snuck out of her house in Maryland. 12-year-olds, you know, they do stupid stuff sometimes, just like 16, 17-year-olds, and even 40-year-olds, but she was just going to go out on a lark and sneak out of the house. Maybe she was meeting someone that she had communicated, or someone was going to help her meet with someone that she had met online. That story is still developing, but then she's found dead. And we've got attacks on children in Houston, New York City, as you're hearing, Indiana. And we've got one that unfolded in Missouri. I'll come to that story in a moment. First of all, thanks for joining us. This is our number one of Larry Connors USA, June 21, 2024. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we're also streaming video. You can watch the program. You can either watch it as we're broadcasting now, or you can pull it up later and watch it at your pleasure. How do you watch? Well, you go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. Or you can go to Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. I'm amazed that all these platforms are in play for, I see numerous numbers on each one. And then we're also available to other platform podcasts around as well. Because when we finish each program, we put everything up at LarryConnorsUSA.com and Larry Connors USA Facebook. Audio and video. So if you miss anything or you want to go back and rehash it, and when you do, would you please click like, because it improves the algorithm and it tells the big tech companies, hands off this program, because more people are liking it. And then on top of that, you can push share, send it to like-minded friends or even your enemies. Let's wake them up a little bit. It's time for the woke to be waken anyway, or put them back to sleep. I mentioned we had one illegal case unfolding in Missouri, and here's that news report.
Five men in the U.S. illegally were arrested Monday morning in northeast Missouri after a teenage girl was reported missing in Indiana. The suspects are accused of kidnapping the 14-year-old from her home. They were tracked down in Macon County. All five of these men are charged with second-degree kidnapping and first-degree endangering the welfare of a child. The girl's father had last seen her getting in a black SUV and reported her missing to police in Indiana. Just before 2 a.m. on Monday, Missouri State Troopers were notified that the girl's cell phone was pinged going westbound on U.S. Highway 36. A short time later, a Shelbina police sergeant saw a black SUV with Texas plates heading west. Just before 2:30 a.m., a trooper saw an SUV matching the description and pulled it over in Macon County. The trooper looked in the vehicle and saw a juvenile in the back. She identified herself as the missing teen. With help from the Macon County Sheriff's Office and Macon Police Department, the trooper took these men into custody. Three are from Honduras and two are from Mexico. Authorities believe the suspects were taking the girl to California, where she was to meet with an unknown man she met on the internet.
And again, that internet is a snare for so many young kids, especially young women and boys, and even older men and women. They think they're going to meet somebody that they really cares about them and so forth, and it's not. I don't know that she would have made it to California unmolested to begin with. That's my opinion. I have no facts, but I know reality of such cases. And if she did make it there, I know what's going to happen to her in California. And I might can notice something. They said her phone pinged, and that's how they picked up on where she was. I know many of us are concerned, and rightly so, about Big Brother watching all the time. And there's concern about following our phones. There have to be legitimate reasons to do so, and that would be one, that if this person is missing, see if we can locate them via their phone. So that's a good thing. And the same thing about license plate readers from cameras at streets or on police vehicles. There's a good reason to do that. It's not tracking anyone in particular, but if something comes up about a plate or a car with a particular plate, they can immediately rush through all the hundreds of thousands of video collected and maybe find where that is and maybe save a life. But yes, we have to balance that against our cries for freedom and not being under control and watch a Big Brother just because they can. Donald Trump was at a rally in Wisconsin saying, "Elect me and I will be a president for Americans."
Joe Biden wants to be the president for illegal aliens, but I will be the president for law-abiding Americans, every background, every walk of life, every race, religion, color, and creed. I'll be the president. Fight for American workers, not for human traffickers. I will fight for the American dreamers, not the child smugglers and woman smugglers. And I will restore the sovereign borders of the United States of America. So help me God.
Rousing. So help me God. On the flip side, you've got the Biden administration and their minions, one including Janet Yellen. She's in an interview with Fox News Cavuto, and they're raising the question about, you know, you have drugs coming across the border all the time, and Yellen is so weak in her response.
I am wondering, though, isn't the better solution, and maybe it addresses what you're doing here, Secretary, to just shut down the border entirely, just lock it down? That's what Donald Trump wants to do. What do you say?
Well, you know, my concern today is with fentanyl trafficking, drug trafficking, and I'd say the
most effective thing we can do there. But if it's shut down, you know what I mean, Secretary? If it's shut down entirely, then there goes the trafficking, right?
Well, look, the most impactful tool we have is to put in place sophisticated drug detection equipment.
No.
That's what President Biden has done.
No.
Is not to shut down the border entirely.
No, that is not the best option you have. Your best option is shut the border and then employ the other items. That's how backward this administration is. This week, a Senate committee began focusing on the origins of COVID again, wanting more answers, and rightly so. And one thing that we have suspected, was reinforced, and that is that Dr. Fake and his scientists have been lying to us, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul.
Who do I believe? And who you believe does go to character, and so we have to look at some of the statements. Like I say, I've never seen anything like this between public and private statements. So Christian Anderson, early on in this, sends an email to Fauci, and his Fauci says, Bob Gary and a couple of the other virologists, we think it's inconsistent. This virus, this genetic sequence of COVID, is inconsistent with the expectations of evolutionary theory. So they believed it didn't come from nature. They had looked at this. These are smart people that when they were not looking at it, when they were trying to look at it through an objective lens, concluded one thing until they came to another conclusion that it might hurt the business of science and the arrangements they had going on with China, and concluded opposite.
And therefore they changed their story and endangered you and your family and lied about gain of function underway in Wuhan, paid for with money approved by Dr. Fauci. There was another testimony that I want to share with you. This is a Dr. Stephen Quay, and he's talking about, you know, we have done studies and things we see that we could be doing, should be doing, and if we don't, we could hit a tipping point. I want you to listen closely to what he says in his closing words.
What happens if we have these hearings and nothing happens? The Wuhan Institute of Virology right now is testing a Nipah virus in a synthetic clone. This is a U.S. CDC bioterrorism agent. It kills 3 out of 4 people. A lab leak with an airborne Nipah virus would quickly, within weeks, disrupt food and energy distribution, fire and police services, medical care. My analysis of this tipping point event is that it would set back civilization about 250 years.
Set us back 250 years. The civilization set back 250 years, in addition to killing 3 out of 4 people, if something like that gets released. We need a closer scrutiny on everything that's being done. And yes, I'm in favor of checking for gain of function and providing that to combat something that might be released on us. But we do not have our adversaries like China do it for us and then report everything's okay, we got it under hand. That is the most stupid approach in the world. So let me switch subjects. What do you know about the log cabin Republicans? I'm sure many of you know something about them, but let's examine how they can help Republicans come Trump and Republicans in November.
Log Cabin Republicans is the nation's oldest and largest organization of LGBT Republicans and our allies. We have about a third of our organization are actually straight supporters of ours. We were founded at the behest of then Governor Ronald Reagan when he was in California. If you watch the movie Milk with Sean Penn, that period of time, when there was a ballot initiative in California, that was a really big piece of our history. And that was kind of the birth of Log Cabin Republicans. Now we have over 10,000 members across the country. We have 80 chapters in 40 states. I'm in Washington, D.C. most of the time where we have a staff. But again, we're a very decentralized chapter-based organization. So I really do have grassroots folks on the ground throughout the nation who are really taking our message of small government, individual responsibility, and personal freedom, and making sure that that message is being reflected not only in the Republican Party, but also in the broader LGBT movement and in that community.
So many in that community are as conservative as you are when it comes to controlling big government. They just want equal rights, which is what Ronald Reagan helped them push for. And Moran spoke, that is, by the way, the president of the Log Cabin Republicans at this point, and that's Charles Moran. He also spoke about how Donald Trump has handled things.
Donald Trump was the first president ever elected in history that supported LGBT marriage, marriage equality, on day one. And as a result of that, just beyond the fact that that was an important piece of history, he actually just made it a lot easier to be openly gay in the conservative movement and the Republican Party. And that's because he had a background as a philanthropist and as a businessman and then as a politician supporting LGBT equality. And as a result of that, we saw, you know, the investment of, you know, resources from the administration and from the campaign in our community. In 2016, President Trump received only 14% of the gay vote. In 2020, he doubled that to 20, 8%, which is nearly a third of the community. And we're looking to shatter that in 2024 by trying to shoot to 50%.
That's an amazing number. And again, it doesn't mean you endorse their lifestyle, but they also do endorse the same thing you do when it comes to control of government and individual freedoms. Moran also said, we do have polls to back up what I just told you.
We actually have some polling that backs that up. A poll done by the Independent Center earlier this year showed that the old ceiling is now our new floor. That Donald Trump has 28% of the LGBT community voting for him, and another 16% is undecided. So that really gives me the opportunity to get that turnout number up into the 40s. So we're really knocking on the door of 50% at that point. So that's going to be our goal this time around. And we actually have amazing partners in the Trump campaign, the RNC, the Republican Party in general. As it's been reported, you know, Melania Trump is doing an event for us on July 8th in Manhattan. This is not the, you know, it was reported that this is the second time. It was actually the second time this summer. This is going to be her fourth engagement with log cabin Republicans as she's working to support our work and supports our role in the Republican Party. Mrs. Trump is an amazing communicator. She's an amazing ally. She really knows that inclusion does win and that unity is one of the most important things that we have going for us in this country.
And I agree with that. Again, you do not have to agree with the lifestyle of LGBTQ, but politically they're very much aligned with you, are they not? And they are important to the Trump campaign, to the GOP. We do need to broaden the tent. That does not mean you endorse everything. But if they also accept things that you do, you find the common ground. Charles Moran says, Joe Biden, he's an outcast to us.
We know that, you know, under Joe Biden, it doesn't matter if you're gay or you're straight, if you're black or you're white or you're Asian, if you're Christian, if you're Jewish or you're Muslim, life is worse for you now under Joe Biden and his failed leadership than it was under Donald Trump. And that's something that we can all rally around. I think Republicans sometimes get caught in this box of trying to play the identity politics game just because the Democrats do it. And we try to think of ways that we have, you know, gays for Trump or Latinos for Trump or black voices for Trump or, you know, these smaller, identity political machines that we kind of set up right around the election. But we all know that the way that you really touch hearts and minds is by having authentic communicators with a trusted, reliable message. And that's something that we're doing in Log Cabin Republicans.
And hopefully it will help carry Trump through November, along with everything else. Don't look to dismiss or turn away from those that you still have a lot of things in common with. They might even be relatives or friends. Look where we can come together, the unity. Because we need that to bring this country back together. Before this hour is over, I'm going to give you a closer look at how billionaire liberal George Soros is putting his money out to shut down conservative talk across the nation, and that includes broadcast operations. He will not touch this station nor this program, but we are going to talk about it before we wrap up this hour. But coming up next, James Herson on the Hunter Biden trial. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
If you haven't been to Lit Cigar Lounge in the District at Chesterfield, you're missing a great experience. Premium cigars, drinks, spacious seating, TVs in every direction. This and more explain why Lit was voted Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Now you can be at Lit and order Napoli Brothers pizza and pasta delivered to you. In fact, Napoli's just a few doors down, a coal-fired oven giving a unique taste. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the Chesterfield District.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I don't need the pills you take. Just feel the spirit moving. Brother, I ain't slept in days. All without the drugs you use. Help me for the builders you use. Use me for the great commission. As it was and always will. As it is, I'm here to witness. Old time screaming and shouting. Grow up, tell it on the mountain. Faith too strong, be left out and way of trying God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
As you know, I often have interesting guests. In fact, every guest is interesting, and this is one of those that really grabs the attention of the listener. He is a former law professor, journalism professor, admitted to the U.S. Supreme Court to practice. He is also a New York Times best-selling author. He appears on numerous television network programs and live streams. James Herson, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Hey, good to be with you, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm looking at an article you wrote, which I absolutely love. Basically, you say there's no equivalency. This is for those folks saying on the Democrat left, look, we proved that no one's above the law. Hunter Biden got convicted, and you're saying there is no equivalency between the Hunter Biden trial and the Donald Trump trial.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing to kind of keep in mind, what we usually see on particularly these cable network shows where they're like programmed parrots and they all say the same thing.
Echo chamber.
So it's very obvious that there was a strategy involved in having Hunter Biden exposed to the legal system, to the Department of Justice, to try to say this notion of a two-tier justice system isn't real. But it is real when you examine it. You know, we all remember it was about a year ago where Hunter Biden had been offered what
right. No
other defendant gets, like this sweetheart plea deal that would have taken the tax offenses, the gun offense, and the whole basic investigation off the radar and And there was a form of probation, but it amounted to almost nothing considering the crimes. And then, of course, there was one district judge, because that judge kind of stopped that whole Sweetheart Express, that was the reason that they ended up, basically, Hunter Biden's lawyer said, well, we're going to scrap the whole thing in terms of the plea bargain. I guess he thought he would get something better, but they ended up having to go to trial.
Yeah, of course, the left was saying the judge was appointed by Trump. That's why it happened. But at the same time, they were going to sweep it under the rug and walk away clean. But she raised one question. Is he facing additional charges? And bang, they had to answer correctly or face perjury.
That's exactly right. And so Trump, you know, obviously everybody knows Donald Trump was not offered any kind of deal, any kind of sweetheart deal. Instead, multiple actions, criminal actions were pursued against this former president, which was never done in the history of the country. And basically Trump's case was a case where a non-crime, really, which is treated as a non-crime, a bookkeeping misdemeanor, was conflated using faulty legal reason. I mean, that's a kind thing to say. Yeah. And was magically transformed into 34 felonies. Whereas Hunter's case, a laptop full of evidence for potential charges.
And a federal form he signed lying on a federal form. It's right there.
Exactly. Well, with the charges, but instead of going after all these different felonies that no one has gone after Hunter Biden for, they just went after him on this gun charge. And as you point out, I mean, Hunter essentially admitted the crime in a book he wrote. So the contrast, though, Trump is in a hostile location. The jury pool is hostile. Right. The selection is hostile. The judge, of course, is conflicted. Whereas Hunter went to Delaware, which is Biden country. I think he was shocked that he ended up getting convicted, probably. But he hasn't, you know, we haven't heard the sentencing yet.
But the capper to it, James, at this point is now Joe Biden is saying the government's been weaponized against my son. His attorney general, the one he's sicked on, everyone else, he said, they've been weaponized against my son only because I'm running for president. Echoing what Trump had said previously, but in this case, he's 180 degrees lying.
No, of course. One was muzzled with a gag order by a conflicted judge. That's Trump. And the other one could talk as much as he wanted. That's Hunter. And also Hunter didn't have to worry about all this irrelevant evidence coming in the form of witnesses that had nothing to do with the case, as in Trump's situation with Stormy Daniels and all the salacious testimony,
right,
which really had nothing to do with whether or not there was a bookkeeping error.
Well, let me bring that point to head on the point. I've heard a lot of you obviously speaking on the law side. Put on your journalism professor cap for a moment as you watched, quote, journalists cover the Hunter Biden case versus how they covered the Trump. And again, looking for that salacious material.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it's just the same way that these so-called journalists, it's such a shame what has happened to that profession, but have covered any subject in relation to Donald Trump. I mean, it's very obvious. They only cover the negative. They never cover the positive. And they establish a perception in the mind of their viewing audience, small though it may be.
So if you're the professor, what grade are you giving them? I'd say you're looking at an F.
Yeah, I would say in terms of ethics, it's an F. no doubt about it. And we see it all the time with the, we keep saying, oh, they couldn't get worse. And then they do.
Yeah.
So, but in any case, yeah, it's very different. And we're going to see it come again because Hunter's coming to my state of California in the fall, probably in September, where he has a bunch of felonies and misdemeanors concerning $1.4 million that he never paid in income tax.
Since you brought that up, let's go back to the fact of the taxes that he was not paying nor reporting prior that they let the statute of limitations run out before they ever started reviving and looking at any of these. And those were the ones involving money from Ukraine and China. And there's the connection to Joe Biden. They are completely out of the play now, right? Because of statute of limitations.
Yeah, because statute of limitations, which normally are really important to prosecutors, they put them big letters on the wall reminding them it's coming, we better file. They just, oh gosh, we forgot.
Yeah, I think they had it on the wall, it's coming, but forget it.
No, and I said he never paid up until some third party,
right,
one of the Biden donors, paid Hunter Biden's taxes.
And then he made all that money off that artwork. He's a great artist, you know, James. Give him credit here.
Oh, yes, of course. Like $500,000 for him. What I don't know what he's doing. Like crawling around in the finger paint. Actually, I wonder if you took a Hunter Biden painting.
Uh-huh.
And you took an average kindergartner's finger painting and you shuffled them up, would anybody know the difference? If you put Hunter Biden on the corner, then somebody friendly to the Biden family, probably a foreign investor, would come along and pay $500,000.
You just gave me a great idea. I've got to get all this program right away and start it. James, in the last minute or so, again, The point I keep hearing now from the Biden people, no one is above the law, and see, we've proven it. Have they proven that, by the way, they handled the Hunter case and will continue to do so?
No, and they certainly haven't proven it by the way the Biden Justice Department has conducted its affairs, where it appears that certain people are not even investigated, and anyone who is pro-life conservative, who is someone that used to work for Trump, all of a sudden, all of the resources are pointed at them, and they are, in fact, investigated, prosecuted, indicted, in some case, incarcerated. So it's, yeah, there's no fairness or even-handedness evident, even though they say it. But, you know, we've really, you mentioned about journalism, we've gotten to the point that George Orwell warned us about. Because now we have people who are supposedly in the journalism profession telling us what you see is not
right.
What you see.
Well, James Herson, I thank you for your time. I'm waiting to see if you get on the jury pool for Hunter Biden on the California cases.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet the life savings on that.
All right, James, again, thank you for your time. Coming up, how George Soros is going to try to silence conservative voices.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beale knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beale started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beale Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Hey, this is a great time to get fantastic deals at Ackerman Toyota, number one volume dealer in the area. Why? Very simple. They want to make you happy. They'll come up with a deal that puts you in the driver's seat. You'll be smiling as you drive off the lot. You got a trade-in? You're going to get top dollar from Ackerman. Looking for a premium used car or truck? Ackerman is the answer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
He's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in the mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
My sponsor, McGuire Moving, has job openings for drivers and movers offering competitive pay. You can be off every night if you want or on the road. You're off every other weekend. Full benefits, insurance, paid vacations. But McGuire is a very good company. So here's a very important requirement. You must excel in making customers happy. Full or part-time job? More information, go to McGuireMoving.com. Apply online at McGuireMoving.com/careers.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Good evening, everyone. I feel honored to be addressing you this evening. I've spent most of my life trying to understand the world I was born into, and I can claim some modest success. At a relatively early age, I recognized that our understanding of it is inherently imperfect. That's because we are part of the world in which we live. We are both participants and observers. As participants, we want to change the world in our favor. As observers, we want to understand reality as it is. These two objectives interfere with each other.
And he's going to make sure there's a greater divide between them. That is the voice of George Soros, born George Schwartz. George Soros is in the process of doing whatever he can to shut down conservative talk, especially when it comes to broadcast operations, between now and November. I'm going to lay out details for you in a moment, but let me go back to stating he was originally born George Schwartz. Now, you would think from his past, this would not be the man we're hearing now, as he was speaking then to one of these Green Alliance groups, basically proclaiming we have to deal with, as a participant, what's around us we don't like, we need to work to change, and we also need to be an activist to make things change, and that's what he's become. And it's not to bring people together, which, again, when you look at his background, raises so many questions about how did this get so twisted. He was born George Schwartz in Budapest, and when he was 13 years of age, in March of 44, Nazi Germany occupied Hungary. The Nazis barred Jewish children from attending school, so Soros and other such kids would had to report to a Jewish council, which had been established during the occupation. And he told a writer, he said, the Jewish council asked us to hand out deportation notices. I was told to go to the Jewish council. There I was given small slips of paper. I took this slip of paper to my father. He instantly recognized it. This was a list of Hungarian Jewish lawyers. He said, you deliver the slips of paper and tell the people that if they report, they will be deported. He said, I'm not sure to what extent he knew they were going to be gassed, but I did what my father said. He did not return to that job. Then his family survived the war because they bought documents to claim that they were Christians. In fact, later he opposed as a Christian godson of an official of the Hungarian collaborist government with the Nazis at the time. Later got a Bachelor of Science in Philosophy, a Master of Science in Philosophy. He wanted to stay at the university and work as a professor, but his grades were not high enough, so he started an investment firm in London. And yes, he did have some medium success, you might say, modicum. Well, as of October 2020, 30, he had a net worth of $6.7 billion. $6.7 for a man born in 1939, or rather 1930. And, of course, one of the things he does with that money is try to liberalize the world, pushing green, liberalist, woke philosophy on everyone. The latest effort involves buying up radio stations. As the New York Post reported, citing bankruptcy filings, Soros Fund Management earlier this year purchased $400 million of debt from a broadcaster known as Odyssey, has more than 220 stations nationwide, some in the St. Louis area, reaching 165 million monthly listeners. Numerous conservatives do appear on some of these programs and the stations, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin. I know some at the local stations, and yes, one of the stations was one that carried Rush Limbaugh for 25-plus years. If he were still alive, he'd be one of the first ones cut once Norris moves in. Now, I have, again, many friends at both stations that are involved in this, and one of them said, it's just not going to be as bad as you think. And I said, how can you say that? You know better. Let me give them another source, though. One is pointing out that the Soros management is trying to move so fast they want to shortchange FCC rules. Foreign company ownership of U.S. stations is not permitted to exceed 25% with the FCC rules. Well, to take control of the broadcast bankrupt network Odyssey, the Soros Fund Management needs the FCC to make an exception of that and allow a larger-than-usual percentage of foreign money so he can close the deal and purchase it. He wants to fast-track it. Texas Congressman Jeff Roy wrote back in April, they want us to waive, they want you to waive the usual process at the FCC and put it off till sometime down the road, indicating those foreign stakeholders will be given, quote, special warrants in the meantime. Of course, the Soros Management Group is not commenting. One FCC commissioner, Brendan Carr, has been sounding off about the potential agency assisting Soros in this, telling the Post, the FCC should not create a special Soros shortcut. He's also brokered Univision's $60 million sale, 18 primarily conservative Hispanic radio stations. They've had several Hispanic broadcasters leave those stations because they know what's coming. According to the Post, Soros' stake in Odyssey is around 40% of the company's senior debt, which would give him effective control when it emerges from bankruptcy, despite not having a majority of the shares. He would basically have control. And all of this coming just months before the 2024 presidential election. As one Republican source was quoted in the New York Post, it's possible that Soros is buying the stake in Odyssey to influence public opinion in the run-up to November's election, and added, this is scary. I would repeat the same. This is scary, and it's threatening to the nation. If they're planning on shutting down any conservative voices that they have control over, be it Latino stations or be a station like this, but now he has controlling power, even though he doesn't have the majority stock, many of the conservative voices that exist on those stations will be given papers of dismissal, or they will not be allowed to continue speaking and espousing conservative views. That's the very thing George Soros, as George Schwartz and his family, were trying to escape when getting out of Hitler's grasp. And yet he turns right around and wants to impose it on the American people. This is a globalist at his height. And with his money at $6.7 billion, he can pull a lot of strings. Some you will see, some you won't. You know he's funded numerous campaigns for progressive, regressive progressives running for district attorney, governors, Senate, any position that they can have some control of. And now if they have control of the airwaves and conservative voices will be silenced. Let me give you an example of something. I'd already mentioned that if Rush Limbaugh were still broadcasting, he would be kicked off any station Soros owned, which would include one in St. Louis. That voice would be gone, not because of his passing. Mark Levin's voice will be silenced at those stations. Sean Hannity. You don't have to agree with each and every one of them, but they would be silenced. If I were working at one of those stations, this program would disappear from that station. We don't always have to agree, and I don't want my listeners to be sheep. I always give you sources so you can double-check me, verify, question me. I don't mind that. But some, like Soros, they only want one side of the conversation, their side. And you will be sheep, and they will lead you to slaughter if they get the opportunity. I'm going to close this hour with a flashback to 2019. That is when Kamala Harris saw herself becoming president. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton. Cafe Napoli in Town and Country. Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I feel that the future is bright and that we will have a new president who will be elected in 2020, and she will lead the nation with integrity and with a sense of fairness and justice, and she will be me.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry I subjected you to that. I sure hope no one lost control of their car. That was Kamala Harris in 2019 gazing into her crystal ball and what she saw, that she would become the first female president, and laughing about it. If that had happened, I would not be laughing at all. I'm not laughing with Joe Biden in there. I'm laughing at him, and I don't even like myself when I laugh at him because of his disabilities right now. That's harsh and cruel. I admit that. But the issue, that man should not be commander-in-chief, and he certainly should not be in position to run again. And yet we've got Democrats out there that are willing to give him another chance. And yet they know he won't even survive, more than likely, mortality in the next 4 years, if not complete senility. And I feel for anyone that's going through that. I do. But don't put them up as a leader of the free world. I mentioned the other day, there is a scenario going around that there might be one move to take Joe Biden out, but it has to be kind of with the blessings and can only be triggered by four people. I'm looking at a piece that echoes that, that appeared in the Daily Mail, talking about all the Biden recent incidents of freezing up and not being able to move. And they're talking about, according to one strategist talking to the Daily Mail, the only people who could force him out would be Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. It had to be the four of them collectively. And then, of course, what are you going to do about Kamala? Well, you're going to get more word salad as you hear from this.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time.
So the importance of community banks is they are as they are called. They're in the community, led by members of the community. They are people who understand the capacity of the community, the needs of the community, the culture of the community.
Space is exciting.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been, you know?
That is a collage. Oh, God, I forgot. She wasn't done. Apologize. That was a collage put together by the Trump campaign about Kamala Harris. There's a time will be coming, and we'll know the time. You'll live in the time, and we did have a time. I can do the same thing, Kamala, but I think I could put a little bit more direction on it. And speaking of the possibility that Obama, Clinton, Pelosi, Bill Clinton, Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer would decide that Biden has to go. They're watching the election coming up June 27. See how he does on that. Well, first of all, they already lost because they win the tail flip for the coin, and they decide they want to be concerned about where he is on the stage. That leaves Trump the option to decide who speaks last. Well, you know he's going to take that. They should have taken it. But some strategists thought, oh, no, we're worried about where he sits on the stage. Again, back to the Daily Mail, they say, looking at that debate, if a decision to replace Biden is made, it would make it easier to quietly put forward a substitute nominee because of the debate, and it will not be VP Harris. The Iron Dome under threat in Israel. In our next hour, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.